Brother O'Malley, I appreciate it. It's a joy to be in this family conference. I've just been a thrill of my heart. I've enjoyed every minute. I've enjoyed the preaching. It's been a real blessing to me. I appreciate Brother Frey, the message you preached a few moments ago, and I'm looking forward to a wonderful day. I enjoyed the preaching yesterday, and I like good preaching, and we have had some good preaching. We really, really have. I appreciate Brother O'Malley allowing me to preach to you this morning on the life of Noah. And I'm looking forward to how God is going to bless it and use it in a wonderful way. Let me just say a word of thanks to the Memorial Baptist Church. We appreciate so much what they've done. We've enjoyed the food, the fellowship, and Pastor West and all the work of the church. I know it's a lot that goes involved in that, and we're so grateful for it. And also, I want to say I count it an honor. I count it a privilege to be part of the worldwide family. I really mean that. I love these men. I enjoy being around these men. I like their spirit. I like to be around folks that love the Lord Jesus, don't you? I like to be around people that have a good spirit. And these men have a wonderful, wonderful spirit. Now, let me just say this, and you excuse me, okay? I've met some porcupine Christians in my life. You say, preacher, what is a porcupine Christian? Well, they've got many fine points, but you can't get close to them. Have you ever met folks like that? I like these men. I like them because you can get close to them. And I appreciate it. I really, really do. And I thank God for it. But I certainly count it a great honor and a great privilege to be able to speak to you this morning. And I'm excited about what God is going to do. Now, I know I got 25 minutes, so I'm going to have to hit the road running. Someone said one time, blessed is the preacher whose train of thought has a caboose. And mine does. Someone also said, blessed is the preacher who can get airborne without much runway. And I can. So I'm going to try to go fast. All right. Hebrews 11. Would you turn there, please? Hebrews chapter number 11. And I know we're thinking about the light affliction, eternal weight of glory. And at the conclusion of the message, I want to make an application concerning that. But we're looking at the life of Noah. There's much that can be learned about this man, Noah. And I want us to see some things this morning. I trust to be a real blessing to you. I'll preach fast. You listen fast. I'll be done fast and get out of the way. I'll preach you a kiss message, okay? I'll keep it short and simple, all right? So we can grab a hold of it. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Probably one of the most well-known men in the Bible would have to be the man Noah. I'm sure all of you know of Noah, you've heard of Noah, and probably one of the most well-known accounts is Noah and the ark. I'm sure every one of us could stand this morning and give us something concerning Noah and the ark. There's a lot of application. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from this man Noah. You know, I thought about Noah and I thought about his life, and when I survey the life of Noah and I look at Noah's life in its entirety, I mean, I look at it and see the full scope of Noah's life. There are many things that come to my mind about this man, Noah. And I want to give you these things by way of introduction, several features about this man that excite me. Number one, I believe Noah was an outstanding craftsman. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You think about what Noah built. He built an ark. I mean, you're talking about a massive boat. That was a massive boat. I believe Noah was an outstanding craftsman. Now, here's what thrills me about that ark. I believe there's a lot of typology in that ark. You say, what are you talking about? I believe that we see the Trinity in the ark. There are three stories of that ark. I believe we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one door to that ark. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is that door to heaven. John 10 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we know this morning that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is that door. And I'm glad that 30 years ago, I entered that door. I'm glad I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. I say he's the door. But I believe there's something else about that ark that stands out, and that is, it's a type of salvation. I mean, once we're in Christ, we are safe. We are secure. I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I'm saved eternally. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's safety in the ark, if you please. But I believe as I look at Noah's life, he was an outstanding craftsman. There's something else about this man, Noah, and this is by way of introduction I'm giving you. I believe Noah had a
wonderful family heritage. You say, what do you mean? Lamech was his father, Methuselah was his grandfather, and Enoch was his great-grandfather. I tell you what, I believe he had a wonderful family heritage, don't you? He really, really did. I believe he was a man of patience. He was a man of endurance. You think about for 120 years, he preached to that wicked generation. I mean, he stayed at it. He just stayed at it. God told him to preach, he preached. He just stayed at it. Preaching righteousness. He was a man of patience. He was a man of endurance. And if I can say anything to the preachers this morning, just stay at it. I mean, just stay at it. Endure. I mean, stay with it, and God will bless you. I really believe that. But there's another thing, and by the way, this all dovetails to what I'm trying to get to this morning. Noah must have had a good wife. Amen. He must have had a good wife. Can you imagine? He comes home one day and says, honey, I'm going to build an ark. He says, honey, there's going to be a flood. Honey, we're going to travel with a lot of animals. I believe she said, honey, you do what God lays on your heart to do. I believe he had a wonderful, wonderful wife, don't you? He had to have a wonderful wife. You think about what he had to do. You think about the ridicule that he received and the mocking that he received. And yet Noah, he just went on with the will of God. But of all the things I see about Noah's life, one of the things that stands out to me about Noah was he was a man of faith. Look, if you would, at verse number 7 again. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's a man that walked by faith. Here's a man that lived by faith. He was a man of faith. And by the way, I believe the only way to overcome the world that Noah lived in was you had to be a man of faith. I mean, you think about the world that Noah lived in. That world was depraved morally. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You talking about a wicked age. You talking about an ungodly generation. Noah lived in a wicked, depraved morally generation. And let me just say this. We live in one today. Do we not? I mean, you think about the wickedness and the perversion that we see today in our own beloved country. It is a wicked, depraved, morally society in which we live in. But let me just say this, and I want to encourage you. I believe we can still live for God in this day. Amen. I believe we can still live for God in a wicked, ungodly day. It was a day that was depraved morally. It was a day that they were deranged mentally. You say, what are you talking about? Genesis 6:5, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I mean, it was a generation that was deranged mentally. It's amazing. And we're seeing that today in America. I mean, when people say that evil is good and good is evil, we're deranged mentally. Sure. Listen, it was a generation of people that were dead spiritually. I mean, these people were lost. They did not know Jehovah God. And Noah came along and he preached righteousness and he warned those people that there's coming a flood. But Noah, he survived his generation because Noah was a man of faith. Let me give you four great aspects of Noah's faith and I'll move on quickly. Number one, first of all, Noah's faith was attested. It was authenticated. It was proven by his works. You know how we know Noah believed God? He worked. That's right. I like what John Linton said about Noah. He said Noah preached the longest sermon in the world, 120 years, and he did it with a hammer. That's right. I mean, he believed God. He believed that God was going to do exactly what God said he was going to do. And thank God this morning we can believe God. We can believe God. And the way that we know that Noah believed God was that Noah, he worked, he obeyed, he did what God told him to do. Hey, that's a wonderful thing. So we see here that Noah, his faith was attested. It was authenticated. It was proven by his works. You know, we're saved by faith, not by works. But I believe true faith works. Amen. I believe that. I believe when a person gets saved, there'll be some evidences in their life. I believe they have a desire for the Word of God. I believe they have a desire to be in God's house. I believe they have a desire to tell people about Jesus Christ. I believe they have a desire to spend time with the Lord. I believe when a person really, really gets the real thing, there will be an evidence in their life. It will produce works. Amen. And so here's Noah. He was a man. His faith was proven. It was authenticated. It was attested by his works. You read the Word of God. You think about the people that were saved in the Bible, how their faith was attested by their works. I think about blind Bartimaeus. When he got saved, the Bible says he followed Jesus in the way. Man, it sounds like he got the right thing and a real thing, didn't it? I think about the man in Mark chapter number 5. We call him the maniac of Gadara. Man, when that legion was cast out of him, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Hey, that tells me something about that man. It sounds like he got saved. Amen. That's a blessing. I think about the Apostle Paul. He was on the road to Damascus, and God saved him on the road to Damascus, and God commanded him to preach. And boy, I'll tell you what Paul did. He did exactly what God told him to do. He preached. Hey, that tells me that Paul had the real thing, because true faith is evidenced by works. That's a real blessing. So number one, first of all, Noah's faith was attested. It was authenticated. It was proven by his works. Number two, Noah's faith was based upon the Word of God. Notice if you would please in verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. There is his faith that was attested by his works, his obedience, prepared an ark. But notice here, his faith was based upon the Word of God. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know what? He'd received the message from God and acted upon it. Yes. I mean, God told him, he said, you build an ark, and the Lord gave him the dimensions on how he wanted that ark built. And Noah obeyed what the Lord said. The Lord said, hey, there's going to be a flood. I'm going to destroy all flesh by water. And Noah, he got busy preparing the ark because he had been warned of God of things not seen. Man, there's going to be some rain coming, Noah, but to build the ark. Hey, Noah, you need to build that ark, and I want you to build it just like this, because danger is on the way. Judgment is on the way. By the way, I think about Methuselah. His name means judgment is coming. And boy, we saw that in Noah, did we not? I mean, the judgment of God fell. They're in that ark, and my God keeps them safe. But I'll tell you what happened. The Lord told Noah that, listen, you better prepare an ark because judgment's coming. And Noah received that message, and he responded to that message from the Lord, and he built him an ark, and they were safe, and they were saved. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Thank God this morning we have a salvation, we can base it on the Word of God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? We've got a salvation that we can stand upon. We've got a salvation that we can prove by the Word of God. And that's a real blessing. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's wonderful to have a salvation, a know-so salvation, to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life indelibly, knowing full well that heaven's your home, and as Mays Jackson used to say, we're a heaven bound with a hammer down. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to know Jesus Christ, to know that you're saved by the grace of God. I tell you, that's a wonderful blessing. And we can prove that by the Word of God. I tell you, that's a real blessing. So number one, Noah's faith was based on the Word of God. I'm glad we can base our salvation upon the Word of God. You know, so many people today are putting their faith in visions and dreams. Man, I tell you, that's a mistake. They're putting their faith in voices. No, we've got a more solid foundation. We've got a greater anchor. It's the Word of God. And so Noah, he based his faith upon the Word of God. And by the way, that's a good thing to base it on. It's unchanging. There's no mistakes in it. I mean, it's inerrant. It's preserved. Can I say this? It's inspired. We've got the Word of God, and we can stand on it. We can rest on it. I tell you, that's a real blessing. I believe it from giver to giver. That's right. I believe it's God's Word. I mean, thank God we don't have to backpedal. We don't have to back up. We can say without reservation or hesitation, we got it. Oh man, we got it. We've got the Word of God. So Noah, he based his faith on the Word of God. I got to hurry. Number three, Noah's faith was ignited by fear.
Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 7. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I tell you what happened. Noah, his faith was ignited by fear. Man, he heard it and he moved. And by the way, I believe fear is a good thing to motivate. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 6:17. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. He heard that warning. He heard that warning and he was moved with fear. I believe fear is a good thing. You say, how is fear a good thing? I believe fear is good to motivate a person to get saved. I believe it is. I mean, a person realizes they're lost in sin, and they realize they've offended the holy God, and they realize that if they do not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to go to hell. I believe that's a good motive to get saved. Sure. And I believe it's a good motive to live right. Fear. I tell you, we're missing fear today in America. I remember I was in a meeting a few years ago, and I was preaching a revival in North Carolina, and I was standing back in a foyer, and an 80-year-old man came by, and he said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America." And he's 80 years old, so he's probably got a good answer. He said, "I'm going to tell you what's wrong with America." He said, "America does not fear God." And I said, "Man, that's exactly right. We're living in a generation that does not fear God, by and large." And he said, "That's the problem that we're having in America. There's no reverence for God. There's no trust for God. There is no respect for God." I mean, listen, people laugh at God. They mock God. They ridicule Christians. They hate the church. And I'm telling you, there is no fear of God. And I'm telling you, we're paying the consequences for that. Whenever a nation rebels against God and the light that we have received in America, when that nation rebels against that light, that nation's in trouble. And I'm telling you, America has long since removed from its moorings. America is not the nation that it once was. I mean, listen, they want to take our verses off the government buildings. They want to take "In God We Trust" off the currency. And I'm telling you, we are suffering the dire consequences of what's taking place in America. But I'm telling you what, there is no fear. But Noah, he was moved with fear. Number 4, Noah's faith was an evangelistic faith. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 7. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Here's a man whose faith was moved. He had an evangelistic faith. And what I mean by that is that man believed that God would. He believed that God could save anybody. Yeah, and I believe the very same thing. I believe God can save anybody. I believe God will save everybody that will repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ. I believe God Almighty is able and willing to save to the uttermost. And Noah preached for 120 years. He preached the Word of God. Why? What moved him? What motivated him? Why did he preach so long? Because he knew that God was able to save whosoever will. And I'm glad God will. I'm glad God will save the black man. I'm glad God will save the brown man. He'll save the red man. He'll save the white man. I'm telling you, Noah, his faith moved him to preach righteousness. Aren't you glad this morning we got a God to save anybody? Hallelujah for that. I tell you, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I tell you, say, "Well, preacher, only God saved was his family." That's good. Yeah, that's good. He got his family saved. 8 souls ought to go. Hey, that's a wonderful blessing. I'm sure all of us have family members that do not know Christ. And Noah, he preached and his family got in. What a real blessing. I tell you, here's a man, Noah, his faith moved him to preach the Word of God. I think about the early church. You're talking about a preaching church. The early church was a preaching church. The book of Acts. Man, I'm almost in every chapter they're preaching. They're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. They're seeing miracles being performed. I mean, they're seeing people get right. They're seeing people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're preaching the gospel. They said, "Hey, Jesus got up. Yeah, he's alive. He lives. And they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They preached the gospel. People were getting saved by the grace of God. I say to you, we've got a wonderful message. The gospel message still works. It still has the power to save. It still has the power to lift a drunk man out of the drugs of sin. I tell you, it still has the power to raise the dead. It still has the power to clean up the drunk man. The gospel still is the good news. It's dynamite! And it still works! Amen. All we need to do is unsheath the gospel and give it out, and God will bless it. I'm glad we're not responsible for saving anyone, but we are responsible in getting the gospel to them. I have no power to save anybody. I have no power to save anybody, but I know one who does. Woo! He'll save anybody that'll come and trust him as a savior. So here's a man, Noah. You say, now preacher, I'm done. You say, preacher, how in the world does that tie in to 2 Corinthians 4:17? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding way to eternal way to glory. You say, how in the world does that tie in to Noah? The light affliction was the laughing. The light affliction was the ridicule. The light affliction was the mocking he received. Light affliction. Noah, does that bother you? No, God's going to keep his word. Noah, does that disturb you? No! He's going to keep his word. Noah, does that not bother you? No! He's going to keep his word. What's the eternal way to glory? Here it is. God was glorified. That's it. You see, what do you mean? God was lifted up. That's right. God was highly esteemed. You say, how was that? It showed God was faithful to his word. It showed that God was holy. It showed that God was a God of long suffering. For 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. It shows the long suffering of God. And the world looks at it and says, my, what a cruel God he was. Wait just a minute. For 120 years, he warned that generation. That's the long-suffering of God. And oh, we see that God is glorified. But here it is. I'll tell you how it shows the eternal way to glory. People were saved, and it was Noah's family. Thank God for that. Oh my, that's a wonderful blessing. So Noah, the life of Noah, there's so much more that could be said, but I appreciate Noah. Noah, one of my heroes in the Bible. No, he was not a perfect man. No, he was not a sinless man, but neither are we. But God used him in a marvelous way. Praise the Lord. Brother O'Malley.